Leonard Downey and Robert Kaiser have several decades of experience as reporters and editors at The Washington Post. Their new book, The News About the News, considers the state of the news business, and their conclusion is expressed in the subtitle, American Journalism in Peril. Downey and Kaiser discuss the factors that determine how news is presented and conclude that profits drive the coverage. And Kaiser says the bottom line in the news business is expected to be bigger than in other industries.
If you went to the president of Gillette or General Motors and said, how about 7% this year, they'd be in nirvana. They'd think that was fabulous. But a newspaper publisher has failed in many of these chains if the return isn't 25 or 30%.
And television stations are expected to make 40, 50, and even 60% profits.
That astonished me. I didn't know that. That's not even legal, is it? I mean, the mafia doesn't make that kind of return.
It's just amazing. And then you find that a newsroom of a really fine television station like WRC here in Washington has maybe 10 reporters covering this local area on a given day compared to the more than 100 reporters that the Washington Post has covering the same area.
And they make, what, over $100 million a year, I think?
Yes.
You did something brilliant in here. You got each of the network anchormen and showed them video of one of their newscasts of the early 80s and compared that with what they're doing today. And each of them had a different reaction.
It was fun. It was a kind of Rorschach test for the personality of the three of them. Dan Rather was disarmed us by being the most frank and defeated when he had to say what had happened in the 20 years that he had been in the anchor chair. He just said, you know, it's not as good as it used to be. He was very frank about it. Peter Jennings was, on the one hand, on the other hand, kind of explaining what had happened and why it was different, and giving a variety of opinions as to whether it was better or worse. And Tom Brokaw, who's a wonderfully engaging and interesting raconteur, you know, telling us it's better now, here's why it's better, knocking the old broadcast, and sometimes for very good reasons, and picking on the weak spots in the old broadcast.
Competition from cable was blamed for the demise of the network news, and yet you found people aren't watching cable news either.
The audience for primetime news on CNN is, you know, a tiny fraction of your audience. They get maybe 600,000 people watching between 8 and 9 on an average night on CNN, or 800,000. It's a really small universe. And interestingly, the network news programs, the evening news, if you put them, the three of them together, they are still the most popular attraction on network television. They have a huge audience compared to other programs. But it's also true that in the 20 years that these three guys have been in the anchor positions, the overall audience for the evening network news has declined by 40%, which is a huge loss.
And you not only have to have ratings in these, in television news and elsewhere in other media too, but you have to have the right viewers, readers, listeners.
Yes, there seems to be this push for younger people, for people in that magic, I think it's 19 to 45 age group. And we talk in the book about how media people seem to become the captives of surveys of these folks and what they think that they really want. Although there seems to be selective reading of those surveys. For instance, there's been a lot less foreign news in the media until September 11th. And they said that's because they didn't think it sold, because people weren't interested. Well, when we went through the survey data, we in fact found a strong interest in foreign news that wasn't being served by the media because it's expensive to send those people abroad.
Why do consultants insist on saying that when it can't be true?
You know, consultants want to please the people that hire them, and they understand that the best received advice will be the advice that's the cheapest to implement and is not obviously serving the goal of good journalism. We didn't find a single lousy paper that circulation is increasing. It doesn't go that way.
In fact, the dirty little secret in the business is that the higher circulation you have, the higher your costs are. The paper that the newspaper is printed on, the ink that goes into it, is in addition to the staff, obviously. And so actually having a smaller circulation often can mean larger profits. So you see places like Philadelphia Inquirer, for example, where the circulation has gone down a lot. And now they're worried about how far it's gone down, but there was a period during which they weren't worrying about it because the profits actually were rising as a result of smaller circulation.
You also look at online journalism, which still seems to exist in potential rather than reality.
The interesting thing is that the old news organizations that were supposed to be fearful of the internet now dominate internet news space. The Washington Post, the New York Times, CNN,
NPR,
NPR, NBC,
AP is big,
and AP. It's the online news suppliers that are now providing news online. The interesting thing there is that the audience is growing rapidly. It remains small, but it's growing rapidly, and we actually see this as the online journalism is a hopeful sign, because the good news organizations that currently are spending a lot of money online are able to provide increased depth and mix video and audio and words together in ways that actually serve online readers very well. The question is, how long can this go on when it doesn't make money? It's losing money for all the major news organizations that have good online sites. And I think in 2 or 3 years, there has to be some kind of shakeout. Either people have to start paying for this instead of getting it free online, or there may have to be painful decisions made by the news organizations that have large online operations.
Is the news business giving people what it wants? After all, ratings do go up when there's celebrity stories and scandal and all.
You know, it's an educational process. Before NPR existed, people didn't know that they wanted to listen to serious news at the end of the day or before a morning edition in the morning. And you taught them to do it. You built a market for these programs, just as Ben Bradley rebuilt the Washington Post and built a market for it in the 60s and 70s in Greater Washington. I mean, our conclusion here, and as we write in the book, is that quality pays, quality works. The highest quality news organizations are almost universally among the most profitable. But people have to realize what it is that's on offer, what they can get before they'll respond to it. And, you know, it's easy to respond to a celebrity in a tight dress. It's harder to respond to a really sophisticated, interesting report from an exotic foreign country. But people do respond to those things when you give it to them in a really interesting, compelling way.
I think it's a cop out to blame the audience. I think that people in the media quite frequently underestimate the American people and the audience for their news, and we should step up and try to do our very best work and see how that goes across first.
We don't have journalists in the classic sense anymore. Journalists are now also pundits. They comment and then they go cover the very people they've just commented on.
Some are. That worries us a great deal, particularly in Washington. It's the case that as some journalists become better known to the public, mostly by appearing on television, and particularly by appearing on these shows that in which people express opinions, which worries us a great deal for two reasons. Any journalist who expresses opinions on the air about something they cover is by definition a biased journalist, and we don't think journalists should be biased. And we don't allow Washington Post reporters, for example, to appear on those kinds of shows in that kind of capacity unless they're already opinion journalists like columnists. And the second thing is that viewers of those shows begin to think of these reporters' opinions as facts, when in fact, not only are they not facts, but quite often they're wrong. They guess wrong. They're human beings. They guess wrong about things. Some of their opinions are not based on very good ground. And so they mislead people terribly about the news who watch these opinion programs.
Hunter Downey and Robert Kaiser of The Washington Post. Their new book is titled The News About the News.